Hey everybody, welcome to the Friday Filibuster. I'm Dave Johnson, joined by Mac McIntyre.
How can do.
And Eric Asperschlager.
Hi there.
And we were just saying that we appreciate, and this is a shout out to our Chinese listeners, because apparently, according to Mike Staley, we got pretty good downloads in the Asian audience. So the Chinese love us. So I don't know what we're doing, but thank you for listening to us. Mac, do you have anything you want to add?
Let's see. I'm trying to think if I know any Chinese. I don't.
Call upon your Firefly, your Firefly viewing.
Oh, those were all swear words in Chinese.
Oh, that's true. Eric, anything to add?
Nothing that would be construed as racially sensitive in any way.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I wouldn't be trying to be racially insensitive or, culturally insensitive in any way. Sure. But I just know that any attempt to be or not be those things would just be,
Well, I think this is innocuous to say that we really appreciate what the Chinese have done for action cinema.
Absolutely.
Yes, that's totally fair. Yeah. All right, good. So
I think we appreciate what everyone does for everyone. How's that?
That sounds like the greatest, most worthless bumper sticker I can think of. So why don't you actually kick it?
At their press now.
So why don't you kick us off then with what you've been up to?
All right. Well, not a whole lot. I know that that's a phrase we use a lot on the show, but I've been kind of between the stuff I've been watching.
Maybe we can learn say that in Chinese. But not a whole lot.
Run that through Babel.
Yeah, that's right.
Between stuff I've been watching to review for this, I've been doing a lot of TV sets recently, so that takes up a surprising amount of time. So it's not a whole lot of time to watch other things to talk about. I did, however, play a video game that I'll talk about. It's actually an iOS game. I played it on my iPad. Nice. It's an Apple device.
Fantastic.
Made in China. So there you go.
Excellent.
And it's called The Room, and it's not based on that movie. But it's a really cool, essentially a puzzle, like an environmental puzzle game, where you, with a kind of a vague but interesting story hook, you're in a room, and in front of you is a large ornate wooden box with, various, things carved on the side and all these kind of, decorations here and there, and the object of the game essentially is to turn the box around, look at it, poke at it, and find like the hidden levers and things you need to do to open the box to get to what's in the middle of it. And you'll play through, each layer of the box. You'll find there's a button here. If I flip this little switch here, it opens a drawer on this side, and there's a key in there. I have to find the keyhole. It's hidden under this thing that I swing out of the way, and it's all touch based and it's interesting. And as you go, you get through that layer, you get to the next layer, and in. And as you go, you find notes from the person who built the box and this mystery that's involved with this, secret element that he's discovered, and all this kind of mystical, almost it's kind of the best parts of a Dan Brown novel, which is to say, it doesn't take very long to get through.
Nice.
It is a relatively short game. I think I played through like two or three hours, something like that. It didn't take very long, but it was a very satisfying experience. It was like a dollar. So I recommend it to anyone who has a chance to give it a try. It's a very cool, kind of, the sense of, discovery and, uncovering a mystery is very strong. So it's cool.
All right. Very good. Mac.
I kept my promise and I finally got out to the theater to see Elysium.
Okay. Report.
I'm a little torn on it. On the one hand, Dave, I think your predictions were correct about the movie being just a bit on the preachy side.
Yeah, that's the same.
Definitely the moral of the movie is rich people are bad.
Okay.
And the premise.
And Matt Damon is bald.
Yes.
Okay.
The premise. There's all the rich people live in the space station, all the poor people live on Earth where it's crappy, and it's really nice on the space station.
Does it get more nuanced in the trailers? Would say, does it, or
are, this is kind not of, a film with nuance.
Okay, it's kind of two dimensional. Okay.
Yeah, so the it's really a metaphor of the U.S.-Mexico border.
Okay.
And the people trying to get onto the space station are like they're trying to cross the border into the U.S. And there's the whole plot rests on the fact that there are these biobeds aboard the space station that can like heal anything.
Okay.
And everybody on Earth is sick, but they're not letting all the Earth people onto the station to be healed. And I kept waiting for the excuse or the reason. Well, we can't just have everyone on Earth have one of these biobeds because of blank.
Right.
But there was no excuse. It was just
being dicks.
Exactly. Just being rich jerks. And, so that was, you know, well, how about, they laid it on really thick.
How about the action? How about let's focus on hopefully something that's redeeming. I mean, because if you know that Blomkamp could do action pretty well. Was the action?
Yeah, Blomkamp, he does shoot some great action scenes. Yeah. There's a big gunfight in the middle of the movie that kind of kicks off the second half of the movie. That was really exciting. And that guy from District 9, Charlto Copley,
yes. Yeah.
He is in this, and he is just crazy in this movie. He's like Busey crazy.
He's a villain, right?
The wall.
Go on.
What kind of the villain's henchman? The villain is Jodie Foster.
Oh, right, yes.
Representing, even though she's a lady, she's representing the old white man cabal.
Nice. Well, it's good to see the old white man cabal kind of get with the times. So that's good. Who went and cracked the glass ceiling in the old white man cabal?
Her performance is really strange, too. She does everything really big and broad.
I heard her accent's kind of weird, huh?
Yeah, she says every line like this, you know. It's like I kept expecting the Greek chorus to march up behind her and say, like, thus saith Jodie Foster. So,
all right. Kind of mixed bag. That's a bummer. So, anything else?
Anything else? Let's see. I've been playing the Deadpool game on the 360.
Ooh. Yeah, and?
It's not bad.
Yeah, that might be a bargain bin possibility.
Yeah. Once the price drops, you can pick it up. The combat is, like, really repetitive. It's just kind of the same thing over and over and over. But the storyline is really, really funny. And lots of, shout-outs and references to the comics.
Yeah, I, too, have been playing a lot of kind of bargain bin games. That's what I've been indulging on. Gamefly has a lot of great sales, so I got some playing Dead Space 3 now, which I got for like $15. I got Metal Gear Rising Vengeance, which is supposed to be a pretty great action game. I just bought Sleeping Dogs for $10.
Wow.
Which is supposed to be pretty fun. So yeah, I got a pretty good lineup to. I mean, I could pass over next gen and have plenty of stuff to play, but I
tell me
right?
about it.
Right. I mean, I don't know what your backlog is, Eric. Mine's
it's insane. Yeah. I could probably not buy a game for 2 years and not have any and play games, you know, consistently and still have plenty to play. It's insane.
Yeah, so but sucker that I am, I'm going to jump into next gen, so we shall see what happens. But as far as game, I will say my wife and I have been playing a board game. Not really a board game, but a card game. So this is my kind of tabletop segment for the Friday Filibuster. It's Amazon is running a gold box sale on a bunch of games, and I picked up the DC Comics deck building game.
No way.
Yeah, it was like 40% off, and we decided to give it a whirl. We're always kind of open to these, you know, these game possibilities, and it is a ton of fun. It is like, so like, as far if you're a comic book, you know, fiend, you got tons of stuff here. You know, tons of great artwork. I guess it's all New 52 artwork, right? So,
okay.
Yeah, so that's where the inspiration is. But, you know, there's different powers, and, you know, and then you play as a hero, so you're Batman or Superman. They all have their kind of powers, and you just kind of – it's just a cool concept. You start off with a small, you know, array of cards, and then you just, you're buying more powerful cards, and they're cool stuff like, you know, just like huge Superman powers and heat vision and all this stuff. And it's just a really fun game to play. You play with two people. It's easy to pick up. And so I would recommend it. So that's my tabletop recommendation.
Is Catwoman a total slut in the game like she is in the New 52?
No, we get a mugshot. So it's just from the neck up. So I have no idea what
unlike the comic.
So
you haven't unlocked that power card yet.
We have not. Maybe that's for the expansion set. Boner expansion set, I guess. So, but yeah, but good fun. Would highly recommend it if you enjoy kind of just sitting around the dinner table. It's kind of new. It's like a new game every time you play it because there's so many cards, and it's definitely comic fans will get a big kick out of it. You know, there's just a lot of cool stuff going on there. So
that's cool. It wasn't a card game, but I remember I went through a phase when I was in junior high where I bought these like DC, is this essentially trading card packs? Somewhere I have like hundreds of these things. They're like the stats on the back. I don't know, Mac, you might be familiar with whatever this run is. Maybe they do it all the time, and it wasn't like a particular special thing, but for whatever reason, I had so many Shazams. it was kind of crazy.
Yeah, Shazam.
It's Silver Age Shazam and Golden Age Shazam.
Yeah, Shazam was not in. I didn't see Shazam in this. They actually have a actual expansion set coming out for it. So maybe there'll be more guys in there. But a lot of Batman villains, a lot of Superman villains for sure. So
any Flash?
You can play as a Flash for sure.
Have you fought Weather Wizard yet?
He's not in there. But some guy named Captain Cold, who I've never heard of.
Oh, yeah. Okay. No, he's one of the Flash's main bad guys.
Like
an anorak, kind of like a furry hood dealer.
Yes, that's true. He looks like Han Solo from Empire Strikes Back.
which is the Flash villain with the boomerangs? Isn't there a Flash villain with boomerangs?
There's a Marvel guy named Boomerang.
I remember some Flash villain who actually had like a boomerang on his belt.
So tell you what, I'm gonna test. Let me tell you the super villains who are present in this, because there's like eight. There's a whole bunch of super villains that that kind of show up, and you defeat them when you use enough power, which is kind of the currency of the game. So let's test. So you tell me if you know about these super villains. Okay. So obviously Lex Luthor. I never heard of Captain Cold. How about Deathstroke?
Oh yeah,
sure.
He's like a mercenary, so he's kind of an anti-hero.
And who's his antagonist? Who does he battle against?
The Teen Titans? Batman?
Or no?
Oh, Teen Titans.
Was it a Batman? Was he in Arkham City or no? He was in he's in Injustice, right?
Oh, okay.
Injustice. Maybe he is. Yeah. He's in Arkham Origins.
Oh, okay.
He's like one of the main guys in Arkham Origins. So let's see. How about Black Manta? You ever hear of that guy?
Oh, yeah, that's Aquaman's rival.
Interesting, very good. Parallax.
That's a Green Lantern villain. Big, scary monster from outer space.
I guess he's a yellow guy, right?
He is one of the yellow guys.
Yeah. Sinestro.
Sinestro's another one of those yellow guys.
Nice. Obviously, the Joker is in this one. Brainiac.
Superman.
Mm-hmm. Superman, correct. I'm trying to think who else. Oh. Atrocitus.
Yeah.
Who's that guy?
I think he's a Superman villain. He's kind of like the Hulk. He's just a big muscle-bound dude.
Okay. All right. So there you go. So I was learning a little bit about these guys. But anyway, big fun. Highly recommended.
Good. And apparently there is a Flash villain called Captain Boomerang. So.
Oh, boy. Does he only fight captains?
I don't know. I could be wrong, but I think Flash villains are just universally lame. If I'm remembering correctly, there is like it's Weather Wizard and Captain Boomerang and that cold dude.
If there were a Flash movie, who would he match up against?
I don't know.
Probably Captain Cold. There's also Professor Zoom, who is the Reverse Flash. Gorilla Grodd, of course.
He is in this. Gorilla Grodd is a villain, not a super villain, but he's a villain.
Gorilla Grodd.
He looks ridiculous. He's got like a shiny satin shirt with boomerang shapes all over it, and like a little tiny, like a Robin Hood style hat, only much smaller.
Oh. maybe he's like the long lost twin brother of Bo, the guy from She-Ra.
The Flash is actually a pretty cool character.
He's just got a bad rogues gallery, I guess.
Pretty much, yeah. So, at least there's not like, or maybe Max said there was like I hate when there's like just an anti version of the main villains. Like the main bad guy is the hero, except it's the bad version.
Right.
I hate that. I don't know.
Unless it's Bizarro.
Bizarro is not really is he a bad guy? He's just like an opposite guy, isn't he?
He's kind of a misunderstood monster.
He's exactly. A villain in this one, so he's a cool villain. So.
Yeah.
So maybe there's no misunderstood monster category, unfortunately. So, all right. Okay. So, highly recommended. Let's move on to stuff we got for this site. Eric, back to you.
All right. This week I am viewing Sons of Anarchy Season 5. I'm only like two or three episodes in because the post office decided not to deliver my package on Saturday, so I didn't get it until yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
But seems pretty good so far. A lot of the things that went into play at the end of season 4 are carried over directly in the beginning of season 5. So far, I have not run into any annoying subplots, which is a good sign. We'll see. Something may yet surface, but so far, so good.
All right. Mac.
I've got the 20th anniversary Blu-ray of The Fugitive with Harrison Ford and Tommy Lee Jones. Really awesome movie. directed by the great Andrew Davis, who's just can do no wrong. And it's really – watching it is really interesting because it's an action movie, but the action is just basically a series of narrow scrapes. You know, it's just you – know, he almost gets caught and gets away. He almost gets caught and gets away. And that's pretty much the action. But the whole movie is just paced so quickly, and there's so much tension driving every scene that you just get caught up in it, and it's exciting, even though there's not punches being thrown and things blowing up every couple of minutes. So it's a different kind of action movie, and one that I think we could probably stand to see a little more of.
All right.
You know, action thriller type of stuff.
That was one of the movies I remember where I didn't know anything about it when I went in. I'd gotten home for the summer. My dad was like, "Oh, we should go see this movie." I said, "Okay, I don't know anything about it," and really remember really loving it. It's nice when that happens, when you get surprised by something you had no idea about.
Nice. For me, I actually have a TV series as well, Spartacus War of the Damned, the end of the Spartacus saga. And I can say safely that I think Spartacus went on one season too long.
Oh no!
I enjoyed Spartacus Vengeance, but this third one just I don't know. So it wore off. I mean, it kind of succumbed to its craziness because they really played it straight, and Spartacus delivers nonstop monologues about freedom and free people and all, you know, all of this, and it's still ridiculous. You know, ridiculous levels of craziness. So it kind of gets swallowed up by that. Plus, a lot of weird. Spartacus was good. They made like the right decisions, like the most badass choices. They made them typically, but they seem to get everything kind of backwards. Just the way people go out, they go out lame. You know, these characters are built up in a big way, just kind of end up being lame, or they die in lame ways. Julius Caesar is in this one. They have a young Julius Caesar who kind of joins against the Spartacus group, and he's just like a, I don't know, kind of a goofy pretty boy, and he's, you know, like, it would be cool if they set him up as, you know, as this really legit antagonist who you could kind of root for, but he was just kind of annoying, and I don't know, just kind of a misfire. So I don't know. You knew how it was going to end. I knew everyone knows how it was going to end, but I thought. They missed a lot of the like emotional beats that, you know, that they could have really brought over, and I don't know. So just plus it was on DVD, which is unfortunate because the Blu-rays are eye-blazingly great, and they only have the DVD for us review, so that wasn't as fun either. But yeah, so I think Starz knew what they were doing when they decided to kind of retire Spartacus. So oh well, bon voyage. All right, moving on, Mac. What do we got?
Yeah, let's take a look at what's coming out next week on DVD and Blu-ray, and you at home can follow along. We're going to go to DVDverdict.com, click on the upcoming DVD releases tab. From there, we'll scroll down and hit the link for the cover art gallery for September 10th. We'll just talk about whatever we see in the list here. Probably the big release of the week would have to be Star Trek Into Darkness.
Yes, that's right. A polarizing film. Well, maybe not as polarizing as other films, but... Actually, I don't know. Do people
pretty polarizing.
Do people love it though?
Did some people really do. I think our own Bill Gibron loved it.
Okay.
And I read a 5-star review on another site that kind of baffled me. But you know, hey, I guess we do each their own. It's also a controversial home video release as well.
Because
They're putting out like 4 or 5 different versions, each like retailer specific with different bonus features on it. There's no way to get everything, you know, on one place. There's like it's like the audio commentary is like iTunes only, and the Target has a special thing, and all,
That's,
so people are kind of upset about that.
Yeah, that's not a great,
rightfully so,
not a great trend, right? I'd be upset as well.
And of course, I have to point out season 5 of Castle coming out. Which is, this kind of, the show changed quite a bit during the season, but there's still a lot of fun moments too, so I definitely recommend it. And another disc that I reviewed earlier this week is from Shout Factory, a double feature of Scanners 2 and Scanners 3.
Nice.
I've never seen them. I've only seen Scanner Cop.
Oh, you've seen Scanner Cop. That's the only one I haven't seen. Scanners 2 is pretty much unforgettable. It's basically a crappier remake of the first movie.
Okay.
Scanners 3 is like really ridiculously cheesy. So lots of unintentional comedy. Instead of just making bad guys' heads explode, the hero, they actually let him throw some punches and stuff. So he's sort of a very, very low-rent Van Damme.
We've got a couple. Looks like a couple comic book movies. Speaking of comic books, you got a Justice League movie and a Wolverine vs. Hulk. I know nothing about either, but
yeah, Wolverine vs. Hulk is one of those motion comics.
Oh, okay.
And the Justice League Flashpoint. This came out a couple of weeks ago, I thought. But speaking of the Flash, it's definitely a Flash-centric movie. Flash runs so fast that he travels through time. The future is all messed up. There's a different Batman, and the Flash and Batman have to reunite the Justice League in this dark, troubled future so that Flash can go back and set everything right again. So it's the Justice League, but with time travel craziness. It's not bad.
All right. All right.
But have you ever seen that the BBC show Luther?
I did watch a couple episodes.
I've never checked it out.
Yeah, it's good. It's probably something I should have committed to, but for some reason we just never glommed onto it and powered through it. But yeah. It has all the elements that I would look for. I mean, Idris Elba, of course.
Yeah.
The episodes were really, you know, pretty cool. He's a cool character, rather. And I don't know. I've got no good reason why we didn't keep pushing through with it, so. But I think it'd be worth checking out from what we saw of it.
Cool. And I know you're a big Mama's Family fan.
So I am. I'm so happy to see there. Absolutely.
The first season, first out of, I think, 800 seasons.
Yeah, that's good.
That and Hee Haw are like the TV shows I associate most closely with, like, going to visit my grandparents when I was a kid. And they had like two stations, and that's like kind of what was always on.
So, when I watched all the time, though, like, my grandfather, thankfully, was big into Airwolf.
That's nice.
Yeah,
that's nice.
So I got to enjoy Airwolf. Yeah, cool. So
yeah, I got Hee Haw.
Oh, too bad. This one's for you, Papa. Thank you for introducing me to Airwolf. All right, any releases on your release of the week, Mac?
Let's see. How about Sassy Pants?
Good, Eric.
Go with Astronaut Last Push.
That works. All right, Crystal Plumage. I don't know what that is, but. I like the word plumage.
That would be the bird, sure. The crystal plumage.
Anything that ends in A-G-E tends to be erotic, I've found. So.
Ah, there you go.
Okay, Amber's topics. You know how this works. Matt, go first.
Okay, first topic. Scenes that take place at the library.
Ghostbusters.
Yes. There you go.
Got it. What a great little opening to a movie, too, you know?
Oh, classic, yeah.
Right? Yeah, so good effects and Bill Murray cracking wise the whole time, so...
Trying to remember the name of this movie, which doesn't help very much. It's essentially a horror comedy, horror like meta movie about a documentary crew that's following around a real life serial killer, and kind of in the vein of like a Jason or someone in there. He kind of takes them through his process of how he does all the things a slasher, you know, slashers do in the movies, where he like shows up out of nowhere and picks his victims and stuff. And there's one thing that takes place in a library. Where he like sets these various clues in place to like help the virgin that he's going to kill later to like start to piece together his troubled past and become scared. I wish I could remember the name of that movie.
Yeah,
it was okay, but what was the name of that movie? I'll try to figure it out. You keep going.
Okay.
Go, Mac.
Well, I went to one of my favorite shows of all time is ending this week, sadly. Futurama having its last episode. But one of my favorite episodes is The Day the Earth Stood Stupid, in which the giant brains come down from outer space and turn everyone on Earth into idiots. And they are defeated by a trip to their local library. Or as Fry puts in that episode, the library.
Nice.
And at the very end of the episode, after the brains are defeated, the characters all gather together, they look right at the camera and they say, "And it was all thanks to the trip to our local library." And then in moment of perfect comedic timing, there's this pause after he says it where everything just freezes for a couple seconds and then it moves on to the next scene. And somehow that pause makes it really funny when you're watching the episode.
Excellent. All right. And so that is that's done. And done, Michelle?
Yep, it's official this time. So.
All right. See, I'll go next then. How about really crazy shows that you watched growing up that you look back now and wonder why you watched them in the first place?
Crazy, like bad?
No, just weird, crazy. Whatever you think, whatever crazy means to you.
Well, we talked about
this.
You
can look back and laugh on, you know. Sure. We can be watching that show.
We talked about this one. I reviewed it for the site a couple months back, but the Drac Pack, which is the old Hanna-Barbera cartoon.
Oh, yes.
Now, the young me as a kid thought it was just, you know, awesome superhero action. And watching it again, it's just like this bizarre comedy that's like jokes that make no sense at all and just crazy insanity that's like I want to go back in time and ask my young self, why are you watching this?
Yeah. Did it shape you?
I don't know.
Did it shape you?
No. That's the one where you have the three ordinary teenagers who transform into monster / superheroes by giving each other a high five and saying the magic word,
yes,
wacko.
That's right.
And they transform.
Oh, man.
I guess there were a lot of questionable sitcoms in the 80s. Yes. The one that springs immediately to mind is Small Wonder.
Yes.
With Vicky the Robot.
Of course. Very disturbing. Very disturbing. Whatever. That show have a series finale?
I don't. It seems like one of those shows that would just like peter off and they got a kind of a finale one year and they didn't come back the next.
Yeah. How did that compare? I mean, but these were the times of so cyborg children, extraterrestrial family members, right? Elf you had, so
yeah, and whatever. I always forget the name of the show where like the girl can stop time.
Oh, what was the name of that?
And I don't remember. The theme song was "Would You Like to Swing on a Star."
Was it Out of This World?
Yeah, that's the one.
Oh, nice.
That's the one.
That's right.
Well, speaking of names, the name of that movie I was trying to think of was called Behind the Mask, The Rise of Leslie Vernon.
Oh, okay. I've heard of that.
All right.
Probably we're checking out when October rolls around.
Nice. I'm going to go with Captain N, the Game Master. Just, you know, it's like really astonishing how Nintendo was able to wield its power to essentially have a series, 30-minute commercials, you know, of how awesome Nintendo was. I had reviewed the series. Anyway, I read an interesting article about Captain N in my local Game Informer magazine saying how I guess some like kid working for Nintendo who was working on their working on the hotline giving game tips to the poor schmucks like us who paid $4.99 a minute. He had the idea for this thing, something about a kid who gets sucked into an altered dimension, and basically it was the idea for Captain N, and he got nothing for it.
Oh, no.
No money, no reimbursements, nothing for it. So, and he says, I look back, I probably should have got a lawyer. Yeah, maybe.
Looking back on those pictures of Nintendo Power, you probably should have gotten a haircut. So it's got really, really weird hair back in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, when was that? That was in the 80s, right, Captain?
Late 89, maybe.
It must have been.
Yeah, it had to be, yeah. So. Okay, go ahead, Eric. Finish it up.
Oh, okay. Snitches get stitches. So, snitches in movies and movies, TV, whatever. Possibly snitches who, you know, got quote-unquote stitches.
Okay.
Retaliation of some sort, you know.
Gotcha.
So not Dr. Seuss's The Sneetches.
No, not Sneetches Get Steeches. Or Snitches in general. You know, we play it loose on the Friday Filibuster.
Yeah, right.
I think the general topic of snitches is enough.
It's a tricky one because it's one of those topics that we all know of coming up with a specific one.
Yes. Why don't you buy us time and you go first?
All right. Well, I'm not going to go with anything specific, but I've been watching continuing to watch The Sopranos, and I made it through the fifth season, so I got, like, whatever, the two halves of the sixth season to go. And that seems to be a show that's essentially about people who eventually get, flipped by the FBI and then get killed.
Right.
Like, it's kind of like Survivor, except being voted off the island, you get flipped by the feds and then you get whacked. So there's a lot of snitching and then stitching on that show.
Very good. Okay, well, I'm trying to think of... I'm sure there must have been an Airwolf episode where there's a Cuban defector or something, right? I couldn't say it because I can't recall that. I mean, the only thing I'm coming up with, and it's just super tired and lame, is Screech kept ratting out everybody. All he did was rat out everyone. And that just leaves, there's lots of disbelief you can suspend with Saved by the Bell, as we all know, whether it's the Hot Sunday, record deal or oil being found underneath the football field. But the most suspension worthy I thought was how they kept hanging out with Screech. Like, what did he bring to the table as Zach's best friend? Because from the footage I see, Zach has nothing but venomous contempt for Screech. he brings nothing. All he does is just rat out other schemes.
Probably had a good drug hookup of some sort.
Maybe. That has to be it. That has to be it. Because I got nothing else.
Boy, this is a tough one. I don't know if it counts, but what about Paul Reiser in Aliens? So he was going to sell out the rest of the crew.
That counts. Why not?
Yeah. I'll give it to you, though. I don't know if he's like snitching as much as he is just a double-crossing.
That's true. He's not really dealing in information. But he does get the old ironic punishment.
And he does get stitches. Sure. That's for sure, yeah. Nice. All right, well, hey, we can end this on Paul Reiser being a douchebag. That's one of the great douchebag performances in cinema history, so I'm happy with that as a finale. So,
sure, that was my topic after all, so that really was. It was the secret. Mac found the secret topic. I have a secret topic hidden inside my topic, and Mac found it. So congratulations, Mac.
Well done, Mac.
Woo, wow.
Well done. Excellent.
Waiting years.
You get a Drack Pack bandana to wear.
Cool. Drack Pack would be a good name for like a kid's meal of some sort.
Ooh,
I don't know.
Drack Pack, right. Yeah.
Good.
That would be good. Like an Arby's. Arby's Drack Pack. Yeah. Boy, well, this is even better than ending on Paul Reiser's Who's Better Performance is ending it on an Arby's note. So, and I do hope our good friends in China have access to Arby's restaurants there. So go check out, get yourself a delicious roast beef and cheese right away. You'd be glad you did. So with that being said, thank you, Eric. Thank you, Mac. We are done. Mac, take us away.
And that's one to grow on.